And I appreciate the opportunity to come here today and to speak with the group. Welcome to Texas. I am Extension Cotton Agronomist in Lubbock, and this is a little far away from home here, but certainly we always enjoy coming to San Antonio. Now, one of the things that Commissioner Staples indicated earlier was if you're going to live in Texas, you've got to have a real tall tale. So here goes one. You know, we've been way too serious this morning, and I just want to let you guys know that last summer, due to higher gas prices, I was forced to buy a new European vehicle, and it was not a Mercedes, an Audi, or a BMW, or anything like that. It was actually a Belgian mule. He gets lots of miles per gallon on water, but I'm just kidding here. In all seriousness, I did not buy that mule, but I did ride him, and I did manage to fall off of him a couple of times. Okay, let's talk a little bit about our technologies planted in the Southwest region. Of course, that includes essentially Texas, Oklahoma, and a few acres up in Kansas. But really focusing in on what happened with our variety selection, about 90% of the state of Texas was transgenic this year. That's up some from up about 3% compared to 2007. As far as Roundup Ready Flex and going in and looking at the USDA AMS Classing Office reports, they always have this large column that's called Other, and that Other is anywhere from about 14 to 35%. So it's really difficult to tell exactly what's going on across the entire acreage, but typically they do report the top 12 varieties that are planted. But if we add up the Roundup Ready Flex acres, you can see at the Lubbock Classing Office, about 77%, La Mesa, 48%, the Oklahoma acreage that goes to Abilene for classing, 63%, and the Texas Rolling Plains that goes to Abilene was about 41%, and Corpus Christi down at 23%. And I think that reflects kind of what some of my previous speakers have indicated, you know, as far as there's a lot of interest in Delta Pine 555. And until we get a good flex replacement for that, we may not see those acres grow off too well as far as Roundup Ready Flex adoption. Now, what really surprised me, I don't really pay a lot of attention to Corpus Christi because I'm on the other end of the state, but it was indicated that 28% of the acres planted was planted to Liberty Link cotton varieties. And moving on to Bogard 2, and that includes just about everything that Bogard 2 is in, whether it's single gene stacked with Roundup Ready or stacked with Roundup Ready Flex. Lubbock numbers 44%, La Mesa 40, Oklahoma 65, Abilene, excuse me, Texas Rolling Plains going through Abilene 61%, and Corpus at about 40%. Okay, looking at the state of Texas, starting down south, we've got the lower Rio Grande Valley, and then moving up the coast, we've got the lower coast, the upper coast, the Winter Garden area off there to the left, central Texas, and then basically the rolling plains, the high plains, and far west Texas. And so I had some help here from Dr. Danny Frommey and Dr. Robert Lemon, my colleagues, but essentially what happened in the coastal bend was we got shot in the foot right out of the start, right out of the gate, about 100,000 acres lost due to drought. It was very dry through bowl field, and then they got some late season rain. Unfortunately, Hurricane Dolly hit the Rio Grande crop on about the 23rd of July and devastated pretty much the 80,000-90,000 acres down there. And according to Robert, there were some growers in the Brazos Valley that actually achieved some record yields this year due to timely and good irrigation management. Moving on up into West Texas and Oklahoma, I think our challenges can kind of be grouped together there and what I call production modifiers. These have pretty much been covered by the previous speakers, so I'm not going to belabor that. But needless to say, high input costs, especially for irrigation, was a very difficult challenge for our guys. We had a somewhat delayed and hot, dry, windy start in our region where I'm from. A severe drought in late May lasted on into early June. And we ended up getting some pretty decent rainfall in mid-June, but there was a lot of storms associated with those rainfall events, and we did get a lot of damaged stands and lost some acres. If we look at what happened in the high plains where a large portion of our acres are located in Texas, and just looking at our cotton heat unit situation, May was about 14% above normal, June was 22% above normal, and really, May was cool early and hot late, and June was hot late and cooled off, or hot early and cooled off. So, but those were some really tough times. July and August kind of moderated for us. As we got on into the month of September, which is a very critical maturing month for us, we ended up being 22% below normal up in the plains and had some excessive rainfall in a neighborhood of anywhere from 8 to 20 plus inches. This ended up causing some severe maturity issues with our crop and has resulted in some significant low micronaire problems, especially in District 1 North, or the area from about Plainview North. On October 23rd, we had a premature freeze across most of the region, which really just kind of slammed the door on us, and this resulted in some of the highest bark contamination problems that we've actually had in many years. Okay, just kind of looking, focusing in on the yellow lines across the bottom, the change in Texas as far as the total acres compared to 2007 was essentially a zero. It's the distribution of those acres that you can see there, where you look at the net gain loss versus 2007 on the planted acres. You can see that a lot of the land down south was rotated out to other crops, but we actually saw an increase up in the high plains and in the rolling plains area. As far as the harvested acres, again, that's always important for us. We're estimated at about 3.35 million acres harvested, and that's going to be down about 1.35 million acres compared to 2007. Oklahoma situation, 170,000 acres, down about 5,000 acres compared to last year. Harvested acres, 155,000, down about 10,000 acres. All Kansas, about 35,000 planted, and that was down 12,000 from last year, and they're going to harvest about 28,000 acres. So looking at our yield estimates and production estimates, again, focusing on the yellow bars, Texas at 731 pounds, that's off about 112 pounds from last year. We are looking at about 5.1 million bales of production. That's down about 3.2 million bales in Texas compared to last year. So a big difference. Last year was a record crop for us. This year we've kind of gone into the tank, so to speak. Oklahoma's yield is up, still pretty good. They're only going to be down about 12 pounds and down about 21,000 bales total compared to last year. And Kansas is actually, their yields are estimated to be up about 47 pounds, but as far as their total production, down about 17,000 bales. So what did all this have to do, all of this environment do to our cotton quality across the region? And as we look at the Abilene Classing Office, that's where the Oklahoma and Kansas crap, that's where Stu Duncan, I apologize. We can really see where the crap is, I think, if we look at this chart. I'm so sorry. I told you we're way too serious about this business this year. But if you look at the crop, okay, the Corpus Christi Classing Office, they're down in quality. Staple about a 35, and Abilene is running about a 35 staple, and La Mesa a 36, and Lubbock about a 37. Now, if you look at micronaire, this is where the issues come in. Mike was about a 4.7 at Corpus, a 4.2 at Abilene, a 3.7 and 3.6. So we're the ones that have the really serious challenge with quality this year up in the plains. The bark issues, not a big problem at Corpus, but certainly at Abilene, about 14%. And as we go from La Mesa and, on up to La Mesa and Lubbock, about 46 and 60%. So J.C. Banks was able to pull a rabbit out of the hat for the third year in a row and came out with some good maturity there in Oklahoma. And the lack of maturity in the high plains is certainly indicated by that lower micronaire. So, all right, now a lot of the other guys talked a lot about the onboard moduling systems. And this is a technology that I think a lot of our guys are going to be interested in. Of course, these pickers are more expensive to purchase. They're more expensive to maintain. And there's some potential benefits here that really fit us in the high plains as far as overall quality potential improvements for us. We've actually done a few studies looking at it this year, and the best quality that we've had was from picker harvested trials compared to the stripper harvested stuff. So anyway, over the long term, it's going to be interesting to see exactly what happens. Okay, now with that, I guess I can say that we're all really glad that the sun has set on the 2008 year, and with that, I will conclude my crappy presentation.